It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Some would say Pete Seeger was America's best-loved folk singer, an activist as well as a performer, whose songs reflected his beliefs. They include If I Had a Hammer, We Shall Overcome, and Where Have All the Flowers Gone? Seeger visited Pittsburgh many times and sang about the city. Here is his cover of the song Pittsburgh is a Smoky Old Town, written by his friend Woody Guthrie.
Pittsburgh town is a smoky old town, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh town is a smoky old town, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh town is a smoky old town, solid iron from McKeesport down. Pittsburgh, Lord God, Pittsburgh. Well, what did Jones and Laughlin steal, Pittsburgh? What did Jones and Laughlin steal, Pittsburgh? What did Jones and Laughlin steal? Up and down the river just as far as you could see in Pittsburgh. Lord God, Pittsburgh. All I do is cough and choke in Pittsburgh. All I do is cough and choke in Pittsburgh. All I do is cough and choke from the iron pilings and the sulfur smoke in Pittsburgh, Lord God, Pittsburgh. From the Allegheny to the Ohio in Pittsburgh. Allegheny to the Ohio. Allegheny to the Ohio. They're joining up in the CIO in Pittsburgh, Lord God, Pittsburgh.
And that's the late, great Pete Seeger performing the song about Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a smoky old town. And this Saturday, fans, friends, and musicians will hold a tribute concert for Pete Seeger, who died in January at the age of 95. The event will take place at 7:30 at the First Unitarian Church in Shadyside. I'm joined now in Studio A by Jenny Hildebrand, coordinator of the Pete Seeger tribute. Jenny, it's a pleasure to have you with us. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
It's wonderful to be here and to be an advocate for Pete Seeger.
And joining us by phone is musician Mike Stout, who performed with Pete Seeger and is part of the tribute on Saturday night. Mike Stout, good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
Jenny, let's begin by having you talk about the approach you're taking in coordinating this Saturday's Pete Seeger tribute and what's on the agenda. What can attendees expect?
We've tried to make this both a combination of some of Pittsburgh's greatest folk singers who have picked their favorite songs to perform by Pete Seeger. We have about 14 different acts that are coming in. And a lot of that is also going to be sing-along, because Pete Seeger believed that music was not a spectator sport, let's say. Mm. And also, we're going to do some different things. Pete Seeger at one point was subpoenaed to appear before the HUAC Committee, the House on Un-American Activities Committee, in 1955 to testify, try to get him to name names of other union and civil rights and other activists. And that testimony is quite funny. I mean, it was a serious situation, but he managed to inject humor in his own innocent way into it. And we're going to have a reading of that. We also have an original poem by Vanessa German, who's a fabulous local artist. And we're going to have clips of Pete Seeger singing himself. It should be a great time.
Mike, you perform with Pete Seeger. What made his music special as far as you're concerned?
What made his music special for me was his music was of, by, and for the people. And he didn't mince words. He didn't. He was a straight shooter. And when he saw a problem and he saw a cause that he thought was worthy of singing of, he put his art and his music and his voice and his talent to his foot to the pedal. And what especially I liked the most about Pete was his, not just his early history and his early support for the labor movement, but his evolution. To where he not only supported the labor movement, but he became one of the biggest proponents for our environment and for the Mother Earth. And he combined those two issues, worker and labor rights, with the environment better perhaps than any musician and songwriter to come down ever. And that includes Woody Guthrie and a whole lot of earlier ones.
Mike, describe not only what it was like to perform with Pete Seeger, but what it was like to be around the guy, to be in his aura.
Well, it was to be around Pete Seeger was like you opened up a history book and you stepped inside it, and you actually were part of the history book. You actually became part of the pages. And I performed with him back in 1992. He came here for the Homestead, the centennial for the Homestead 1892 strike. And then I performed with him again in the year 2000, twice down at Fort Benning, Georgia, for the SOA Watch, the School of the Americas, and also at a rally in D.C. And there was a big rally in April in D.C. A couple thousand people were there, and my band was performing, and Pete came on afterwards. And he was just a straight shooter, and he was just somebody that, you know, he never minced words, even when he was talking to you privately. And the wildest experience I ever had was after I was performing this, like, really wild, raucous labor song called Solidarity Rocks. And at the end, you know, we'd do this guitar thing, and I'd do this big leap off this six-foot stage. And I came back, and Pete was going on next with his banjo, and he looked at me and he said, "Son, you ain't never going to make it to my age if you keep doing that every day."
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking about the Pittsburgh tribute to Pete Seeger. If you have a special Pete Seeger memory or story you'd like to share, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. That's 412-246-2002. The email address is esspgh at wesa.fm. On Twitter at esspgh. Follow the conversation at hashtag EPLive. How did Pete Seeger inspire you? 412-246-2002, the number to call. Ginny, I understand that Mr. Seeger had a special connection to Pittsburgh that was not all that positive. What happened in 1962 that led to his concert tour almost being canceled entirely?
Right. In 1962, April, Pete was invited to do two shows here in Pittsburgh, one by the very young WQED on a children's show called Dimple Depot.
This was WQED TV.
Yes, uh-huh. And also he was supposed to he was invited by two couples, the Trachtenbergs and the Corrigans, rented the Young Men's Hebrew Association Hall in Oakland, and he was to do a concert, public concert there. But this was still kind of witch hunt time, you know, kind of big Red Scare times, and anybody progressive was, you know, colored with a brush that said they were anti-American.
Even though, you know, this was the JFK administration, 1962.
No, this was yeah, I guess it was JFK, right. It really, as a friend of mine told me, she said, you know, 1962 was really 1958. The 60s, as we know it, didn't really start till later.
Till the Beatles showed up and the war protests started.
The anti-war protests started, and the civil rights movement had certainly started, but it was the spread of it was really the early 60s. Anyway, what happened was WQED and the YMHA got all these phone calls, all these letters saying, don't let this un-American person come and spew his propaganda. Now, let me give you an example of his propaganda. He used to write lots of children's songs, and here's one of them. The famous Turn, Turn, Turn song that people probably know that the Birds covered later.
Right.
Listen to the children's verse he wrote to this. This sounds pretty dangerous. A time to cry and make a fuss. A time to leave and catch the bus. A time for quiet. A time for talk. A time to run. A time to walk. Now, that's pretty subversive stuff, right? So that's the kind of thing he was going to perform on WQED. So anyway, his appearance on QED was canceled. The concert was canceled. The operators of the YMHA pulled out. So what happened was the Unitarian Church, the one we're performing at this Saturday night at 7:30, the Unitarian Church board wrote a letter to Pete Seeger and said, we will host your concert here because we believe in your First Amendment right to free speech and freedom of association, and also because we believe in that you shouldn't be judged in the media. You have an appeal to your conviction, and we support your equal protection.
So Saturday's concert is being held in the same spot.
Same exact edifice.
Where he
That's right.
took refuge after being unceremoniously pulled off of television in Pittsburgh in 1962.
But the interesting thing, if I could just add,
sure.
the PG, the Post-Gazette afterwards, this is its headline. Standing ovation given controversial singer. Crowd sings, laughs with him. So we're going back to what they call the Friendly Unitarian Church. They had to have two shows. It holds 300 people. Both shows were packed. So Pittsburgh really came forward for Pete Seeger back in 1962, and we hope they're going to come forward this Saturday night too.
412-246-2002 if you'd like to join the conversation, and we'll go to the phones momentarily, but let's give the backstory here so that people really understand why Pete Seeger was painted as un-American in the view of some so-called patriots. In the early 50s, the Cold War was raging. It was just a few years after World War II. Russia and the United States were the two superpowers, and so there was this whole propaganda war, and there was also an effort to root out so-called alleged communists who had supposedly infiltrated the American government and the State Department. So one of the people who took advantage of the Red Scare was Senator McCarthy out of Wisconsin, who held hearings, the House Committee on Un-American Activities, or HUAC, as you referred to it. These hearings were going on in the 50s. Different people, entertainers, people like Pete Seeger, were being called to testify. So Pete Seeger was called before the House Un-American Activities Committee in the 50s, like so many other leftists and liberals. I've read that, unlike many, he did not take the Fifth Amendment, but asserted his First Amendment rights, which led to him being convicted of contempt of Congress. Why did he choose that more difficult path?
I think it was because he was such an extremely principled person. This is not at all to blame people for taking the Fifth Amendment. That's the amendment that says that you don't have to testify because of the possibility of it incriminating yourself. But the way the HUAC hearings worked is, once you answered any of their questions, if you didn't take the Fifth, in other words, you had to answer all their questions or else you would be held in contempt. And Congress had the power to throw you in jail if you were in contempt of Congress. So Pete Seeger just decided, no, I have the right to freedom of association and freedom of speech. That is my First Amendment right. And so he went before the committee, and he answered the questions that he wanted to and wouldn't answer the other questions. And he told them things like, they would ask him, did you sing at this communist rally or something like that? And he would say, I'm not going to tell you, but I will tell you this. I've never refused to sing in front of anyone. I've sung in front of hobos. I've sung in front of Rockefeller. And I will never refuse to sing in front of people due to their politics, their skin color, their station in life, or their religion. And I'm proud of that. And that he wouldn't squeal. He wouldn't name any names. And he said, if you just let me sing a song for you, I think you'd find out we have more in common than you think.
Well, it's interesting. And that sort of sets the stage for what came later and why he was handled in the way that he was. 412-246-2002, if you'd like to share a story about Pete Seeger. Let's go to Charlie from McKees Rocks. Charlie, you are on with our special guests today. We have with us Jenny Hildebrand and Mike Stout. Go ahead.
Yeah. Know them both well, and I remember three very quickly. One time Pete came and sang at the one of the last concerts at the Leona Theater in Homestead for the insurgent presidential campaign for the president of the steelworkers, of Ed Sadlowski, and it was an incredibly rousing, packed crowd, full of enthusiasm and hope. Another time he came in 1982-83, when I was in the middle of a six-month strike at Union Switch and Signal, and he sang for the group of strikers in a mass meeting there. And the final time is I remember going down the point with my son, who was about a year and a half, and Pete sang the great Dylan song, Where Are You Now, My Blue-Eyed Son, the anti-nuclear, the song that Bob Dylan wrote on the eve of the Cuban Missile Crisis about his hopes and dreams for the world when all the world was facing annihilation. And Pete gave a very moving introduction to that. And so I stood with my blue-eyed son in tears for that performance.
Mm. Thank you so much for sharing that, Charlie.
Sure.
Mike, what do you think people should take from Pete Seeger's life and music?
That he was the real thing, that he wasn't in it for the money, and not that he didn't get paid, probably get paid well, especially in the latter part. But probably for every concert that Pete Seeger did that he got paid for, he probably did four or five that he didn't get paid for. And a lot of the times, like when he came to, you know, places like Homestead or went to the SOA rallies down at Fort Benning, he didn't get paid. And I can definitely tell you he didn't get paid. And he wasn't in it for the money. And he was in it for the cause. And he was in it to enlighten people about the truth and to arouse them, to inspire them, to get them to not only understand the truth about the cause he was singing about, but to stand up and do something about it. And that's what I take away from Pete Seeger. And he's my role model. I mean, he might not be that exact kind of music that I play, but he's definitely my role model.
Let's go to Ken in Bellevue. Ken, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. I would just like to relate my experience with Pete. I'm a longtime fan of his. I remember back in 1966 when I first came to Pittsburgh as a student, I went to a concert of his. It was held at the Carnegie Music Hall in Oakland. And I remember we were going up the steps and there were lots of people outside, anti-Pete Seeger people handing out leaflets, saying that this man was a communist and you shouldn't be, you know, contributing to this, his cause. And it was just a great concert. And ever since, I've been, you know, a rabid fan of his. It should be said that he was an Air Force veteran during World War II, and I think that's very important. He was a patriot. So that's it.
Great, Ken. Well, thank you. We appreciate your sharing that. In addition to the song that we played earlier, Pittsburgh is a Smoky Old Town, there's another song, Woody Guthrie song, that Pete Seeger covered, He Lies in the American Land. Actually, did Pete Seeger write He Lies in the American Land, or was that Woody
I believe
Guthrie
what
also?
It is, it's based on a poem written by a steelworker from McKeesport. And he picked up this poem. I don't know if it was given to him, but he set it to music, like so many things. Like I said, folk music is the combination of people's passions and talents. So he set it to music and popularized this poem through the song.
That's exactly right, Jenny. And he did. That's what he did. And I actually performed that song when there was a reenactment of a play from the 1919 strike about 5 years ago here in West Homestead, and I actually learned the song off of Pete Seeger's version of it. So he just took a simple poem, which he did many times, and put it to music.
So a poem about a mill worker in McKeesport, the basis for Pete Seeger's song "He Lies in the American Land." Let's listen to a bit of that.
Ah, my God, what is this land of America? So many people traveling there. I will go too, for I am still young. God the Lord will grant me good luck there. You, my wife, stay here till you hear from me. When you get my letter, put everything in order. Mount a raven black steed, a horse like the wind. Fly across the ocean to join me here. But when she arrived in this strange land, here in McKeesport, this valley of fire, only his grave, his blood did she find. Over it bitterly she cried. Ah, my husband, what have you done to this family of yours? What can you say to these children, you've orphaned? Tell them, my wife, not to wait, not to wait for me. Tell them I lie here in the American land.
Haunting ballad by Pete Seeger. a song that he wrote based on a poem by a mill worker in McKeesport, He Lies in the American Land. We are talking about the concert happening this Saturday, a tribute to Pete Seeger. Ginny Hildebrand with us in studio, coordinator of the event, the Pete Seeger tribute, and also with us Mike Stout, musician who performed with Pete Seeger. We have a time to take just a couple more phone calls. Let's go to John from Allison Park. John, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi. I don't know whether you can hear me. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine.
Okay, well, given that last song, I think that you're either haunted by Seeger or not. I mean, I first heard him, so this is historical. I first heard him when he sang with the Weavers in 1957 at the East Orange Jewish Community Center in New Jersey. After that, I heard him at a concert that he gave for free in Woodstock, Vermont. He would come up there every year. I think he was either born there or grew up there. I'm not sure which, but his contributions are legion. After that, I saw him try to tear the electric guitar out of Bob Dylan's hands at the Newport Folk Festival in 62. And it was a couple years later that I met my wife. We were both working at Greystone State Park Mental Institution, and I glimpsed him when he was visiting Woody Guthrie, who passed away at that institution. And from that point on, I mean, you're either a fan or you're not, and it's like a moth to a flame. So I just wanted to contribute that because he's been around a long time. He's influenced a great many people, and I hope his spirit lives on for years and years.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that. One final story from Edith from Pittsburgh. Edith, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm a longtime fan of Pete Seeger's. My first encounter was in 1955. I had just arrived in the United States, actually, 6 months earlier, and I was at the university in Wisconsin with my husband, and Pete Seeger was supposed to perform, and nobody would sponsor him. There was a folk group that was sponsoring him, and they allowed him to perform in the ballroom, and there were pickets outside by the Young Republicans. This was 1955, McCarthy, Wisconsin. After a while, when that concert went on, and after a while, those young Republicans would kind of drift into the ballroom and sit or stand at the back. And towards the end of the concert, he had them singing with him. And the next year, he was back on the campus in a larger venue. And the year afterwards, he was in the largest venue they had there.
That's a great story, Edith. Thank you for sharing that. And as we wrap up this segment, I'm sure, Ginny and Mike, hearing these stories, this is no surprise to you how Pete Seeger has inspired people.
Absolutely. But we have to remember that later in his life, he received the Kennedy Center Award. He received a Lifetime Grammy Award, so he came to become an American treasure. And we got a call yesterday at the Thomas Merton Center where we're organizing this, and I just want to say this person said, can I bring my grandchildren? Will you save them seats up front? And we said, we sure will. This is a program not just for us older people that remember him, but it's going to be great fun for kids, and we got to let them know where this music came from.
Ginny Hildebrand is coordinator of the Pete Seeger Tribute Saturday at 7:30 at the First Unitarian Church in Shadyside. Musician Mike Stout, who performed with Seeger, is part of the tribute. He's performing Saturday night. Thank you both for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
Great, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you, and I hope to see people there.
Here is his cover of the song, Where the Old Allegheny and Monongahela Flow. It's Essential Pittsburgh.
City that is built amongst the hills, where smoke is always pouring from the big rolling mills, and steamboats on the rivers go towing to and fro, where the old Allegheny and